Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another day, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I sit down with Ben Thatcher of Royal Blood. And it's great, as you are about to find out. Before we get on with today's chat, just a few thank yous. I'd like to thank Tom for facilitating this chat. Big thanks to 76 for producing this podcast. Thank you to Scroobius Pip and all my friends at the Distraction Pieces Network, which is a wonderful little network to go and explore and check out some ace podcasts. And just quickly to thank you lot, because sometimes I forget to do that until the end. And so I'm going to get in early here and just say thanks loads, because over the last year, yous have helped me really develop this podcast, you know, to enable me to sit and talk to, you know, people like Ben from Royal Blood. And if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then long-time listeners have had the opportunity to listen to some great tracks by supporting this podcast, and them guests have included such names as Fatboy Slim, Foo Fighters, Deftones, Chuck D of Public Enemy, Tommy Lee of Motley Crue, and then Melanie C of the Spice Girls, and I've spoke to lots of actors as well, Thomas Turgoose, Michael Smiley, Maxine Peake, Joe Hartley, Amanda Abington. There's just some really great natters that have come about through you lot supporting the podcast and getting behind it and liking, sharing it to your pals and things like that. So just a huge thank you to you lot for helping grow this podcast into what it's, you know, fast becoming, which for me is an absolute joyous thing to do. So thank you. Right, if you want to support the podcast in any other ways as well, there's a Patreon, and by supporting that, it's not just a token support. You get lots of content there as well. I put up a radio show each week over there, sometimes two. I put up video episodes over there and bespoke recordings as well. So you can find out about that and everything else you need to know about at www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Right, I think that's me done, and we can get on to the good stuff. Please enjoy Off the Beat and Track podcast with Ben Thatcher of Royal Blood. Right, I've got to take a quick break in this podcast because I've got some super exciting news. Off the Beat and Track podcast is proud to go into partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. That's right, the Cacao Bar is not a chocolate bar. It's all the best bits of a chocolate bar put into a really exciting new alcoholic range. That's right. Gin, vodka, and a beautiful range of cream liqueurs. So one of the big bonuses of this partnership is obviously I'm super thrilled to have Hotel Chocolat working with us, but they sent me a great big box of this stuff. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. Go and check it out. www.hotelchocolat.com or over on the socials at Hotel Chocolat. But yeah, in the coming months, there's going to be opportunities for you to get involved with competitions with us, to win bottles of stuff. There's loads of exciting things coming soon, and I can't be more happy to say that this podcast is in partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. All right, let's get back to the podcast. Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin. Okay, we are recording. Joining me today via the means of Zoom, Ben of Royal Blood. Hey, man.
Hello, how are you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad at all. Before we start talking records, let's have that chat that everybody has to have and touch on like the weirdness that has been the last year that hopefully, you know, we're starting to find our way out of. How have you found that, Ben, like personally, and how have you found it creatively?
To be real honest with you, it's been refreshing. I know it's a terrible thing for a lot of people, and there are obviously lots of situations where it isn't great. But personally, for me, I've been on the road for 5 years, and it kind of forced us as a band to stop, and it's given me a lot of time to reflect and just be at home and kind of enjoy life like that. Creatively, again, it's been brilliant because we've written an album during this pandemic, and we've had this kind of, like, we're in the studio recording it in March and we had to stop. And once we stopped, we have another studio here in Brighton, and where we can just go and kind of carry on. And another four or five songs kind of came out of that writing session, which when we were allowed to go back to the studio, we had, you know, the album totally changed for us. And you don't normally get that extra time to kind of be creative and add those things. So, yeah, it's been all right. I mean, obviously, other things haven't been great, not being able to see friends or family. But yeah, on a personal level, it's been okay. It's actually been all right.
Okay. Well, let's talk records and let's kick the track list off. For track one, Ben, I'm going to ask you for the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
Okay, this is a great question, and I had around four or five songs that I could have easily chosen here.
You can throw some honourable mentions in if you want.
Yeah, okay. Danger on the Track by Europe has an incredible intro, as well as The Final Countdown. I think we can all agree on that. Jungle Boogie has an incredible intro with the gong. But I'm going to stick to my rock and roll roots here and go with Biffy Clyro, Living is a Problem Because Everything Dies. Because, one, it's just genius. Two, it makes me laugh how ridiculous the intro is. It just goes on for so long. And I can imagine we have we're on the same record label as Biffy. And when I first heard that song, I could imagine them playing it to the record label, and just how intense that situation would have been, and just how funny, yeah.
And so, in regards to intros, I'm always fascinated when I talk to songwriters just to how they approach them now in a world of TikTok and Snapchat where attention spans are rapid. And I wonder how that sort of filters through to a songwriter. Is that a consideration for you when writing songs now, that whole kind of grab 'em from the instant?
I think there is definitely that side of things. I think there are songs that benefit from that. For us, it was I Only Lie When I Love You. It's the first thing said on that. And you have Bon Jovi with, you know, Shatter the Heart! And that's like, bang, you're straight in. But I think the more well-known Bon Jovi song is Living on a Prayer, which has that very slow intro, and it kind of gets you revved up and prepared for it. So I think both work, and I think intros are a fun a very fun creative part of music.
I was chatting to the producer and former Human League artist Martin Weir, and he was saying something on the lines of whatever the cut-off point is now on radio, it's something quite short where you have to hit the vocal by X amount of seconds. And I find that, like, I find it pretty lame that that's in place. But, you know, you just mentioned Living on a Prayer as a prime example there. Vocal takes a while to come in on that, you know, and there's so many intros that are, like, absolutely fucking epic that you think, would they get on the radio now? And I find that really, really interesting, you know?
Absolutely, I agree. I think I understand the radio thing, especially like Radio 1, for instance, when the listeners do need, you know, that. But I think a song can take you on a journey, and you sometimes need to just wait and be patient.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, it does seem that patience is something that seems to be diminishing slowly. And, you know, it's that quick gratification, which... Yeah, I think like every, and this is one of the things that I love about podcasts, to be honest, Ben. It's like, you know, with so many things, it's so fast and that quick fix, whereas a podcast does seem to be that moment where you put your headphones on and you kind of think, right, well, for half hour, I'm going to slow down and just kind of get stuck into a long-form chat. And I kind of like the pace of that, you know. Maybe that's because I'm 47.
But I think with, like, dance music... you get a real payoff for being patient when you're waiting for that drop and it's getting longer and longer and longer and it's kind of going down, like all the frequencies are changing and and then when it finally drops, the euphoria that comes over you is unbelievable. And you wouldn't get that without having that journey before.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take you back for track two, and I'm going to ask you the first song that you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
This would have been an emotional impact. I would normally think of as a kind of a wow kind of moment for me, I guess. And it was not as in a sad emotion. It was a kind of an overwhelmed emotion. Was when I heard Red Hot Chili Peppers' "Under the Bridge." And I think it's just a moment that I remember. My brother had the album. I would have been 4 years old. But I remember going... He lived... his room was at the top of... we had an extension. He lived up in the roof, essentially. And I remember him playing this music. And he would have been a teenager, like 13 years old or so, 14. And I ran upstairs and he's a bass player. And he was just jamming along to "Under the Bridge," and I just had to get involved. And I didn't know I didn't have a drum kit at that point, and I just grabbed a tambourine and just started like just playing with this tambourine over the song. And I just remember it like I needed to do something, and I needed to join in almost. And I think that emotion for me of I've got to be a part of this as well was something that I really remember.
And obviously, as a musician and listening to your brother at such a young age, like playing along to something quite complex, you know, the Chili Peppers, especially bass lines. When you sort of hear music at a young age, as you started to kind of listen to that more, was music something that you would, as a listener, sort of deconstruct and start to work out how it was put together?
At what age were you talking about here?
I guess you're just formative years, I guess.
Yeah, I think learning's like I loved playing drums and learning songs, so it was listening to those parts and how the little details, especially in drumming for me, came in. I was probably because at the beginning of drumming, I was just wanting to be the fastest kid at school, you know, it's more when you get a bit older and listening to those things and developing your craft, definitely.
Why drums?
I don't know, it kind of picked me. I was lucky enough to have parents, my parents weren't musical at all, but they allowed me to express myself playing. It was just something that I loved doing, and I don't know, like, ever since I was real young and I got the pots and pans out, and like, we didn't really have music playing in the house even, so it's a bit of an unusual one.
So what, the only sort of music that was on at the house would have been stuff that was coming from your brother in the extension?
Yeah, my brother and my sisters, but I didn't really listen to that often.
Yeah.
But I grew up in a church environment, and so every Sunday I'd be at church and there'd be music playing. So I think, you know, as a young kid going to church, I had a lot of friends in the church, but I didn't want to just sit there. I wanted to, again, just play. So church was always better when you were playing drums.
And where was that? Where was home then? Where was growing up then?
I live in Brighton now. It was just a small village called Rustington, which is just down the road, just down the coast.
Nice place to grow up?
Yes, definitely. It's quite sheltered. It's where a lot of retirement homes there and stuff like that, and very community-based. It was the kind of place where going to the city, going to Brighton, was quite an ordeal for a lot of folk.
Track three. The song reminds you of your time at school, please, Ben.
That's Guerrilla Radio by Rage Against the Machine. And I remember this. I mean, I could have picked many songs again, but I was obsessed with Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. And that was on the soundtrack of it. And I think that actually that soundtrack for that game opened me up to a lot of music that I love today.
What else was on there?
Papa Roach was on that, Blood Brothers. Who else? I can't even think now. But there was, it was great. Great soundtrack.
I mean, the amount of people that have referenced Rage on this podcast over the years for whatever question, and it's one of them bands that you forget how old that music is now, because whenever you hear it, it still sounds fresh as a fucking daisy. It just sounds as vital, as important, as big, as relevant as it did when it came out. It's just something about it just sounds from a different planet. And I mean, I don't know, was that your introduction to Rage?
I think it was. And I think, like you said, it hasn't aged. It's rock and roll music that's so riff driven and has such a great feel and groove behind it. And it didn't ever become like a cheesy thing, you know. It didn't become go into that new metal thing, really. It kind of stood its own ground. Mm. That band.
So how did you find school?
All right, I was never great at school, but I got through it. I was kind of the kid that got along with everyone and, you know, kind of left everyone alone. But I tell you what, drumming was a massive key to getting with the cool kids. Because if you could play Deftones or something like that, they'll be like, oh, you know, get Ben on the drums for every school performance or whatever. So that was definitely a good thing for me to be around.
Well, I normally ask guests what they wanted to be when they were at school, but I guess the writing was on the wall already then if you're playing drums at school. Was a musician always what you wanted to do?
Yeah, it's all I really enjoyed doing. I mean, I liked playing football at a young age, but quickly learned that I was never going to do that. And to be honest, I never thought I'd really make it as a drummer, not because of any reason but luck, really. I think I'm very lucky to be in this position as I am, and I was prepared with, you know, to be in this position by practicing a lot and playing in lots of different bands and stuff like that. But it's a difficult industry to make it in.
Would you say you was confident at school?
No, not really. But I wasn't unconfident either. I was kind of just getting through it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Listen up, I've only got another new sponsor, Eggfried. It's this super cool clothing label, and if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, E-G-G-S-A-L-A-D, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. Yeah. I mean, aside from confidence, let's touch on sort of drive then, because, you know, you said that you feel lucky to be in the situation that you're in now. You know, you've played huge gigs to huge crowds in one of the most difficult industries there is to succeed in. Would you say you're driven?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a difficult question. I do go with the flow quite a lot, and I do like to sit back and hear other ideas, and I'm not so focused on a lot of things. There are certain things I'm focused on, but I'm not. I don't know if driven would come under anything that I really am.
What do you mean by that? Explain that a little bit.
Like, I think I know people that are driven, and I think they have a lot more focus and determination to get to their goals or whatever, where I'm kind of take every day as it comes and see kind of guy, I guess.
Yeah. Track 4. First okay. Song you bought from a record shop, please.
Okay, so I've gone with a single, because yep, that was technically the first song, and it was The Wise Guys, Ooh La La.
I mean, and I remember...
It is a tune, and it's... I remember seeing it on an advert, I think, and nipping down to Woolworths and getting it. I've still got it somewhere, I'm sure.
So, as you got older and got more involved in music, like, you know, do record shops become important places for you? And where do you stand on sort of, you know, independent record shops now?
I would definitely, I mean, Woolworths was my thing. I lived in a village and it was the shop to go to for your pick a mix and your Robbie Williams. So
I mean, shout out to the island of Pick-a-Mix in Woolworths. It was something to behold, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And so, yeah, I guess I kind of grew up in a world where buying music was changing, and you can now download it, and there was Napster and LimeWire and all this stuff. And as a teenager, you're wanting to consume everything, so you're illegally downloading everything, not just music. Mm. So record stores weren't a massive thing, I guess, until, yeah, I guess the last 10 years for me. I mean, I bought a lot of music when the iPod came out. That's when it changed. I used to, you know, every birthday want an iTunes voucher, and I had a massive catalogue on there. But then obviously Spotify's changed everything, and I guess when that came around, I started getting into collecting vinyl, and got myself a nice system, and that's how I really like to enjoy a lot of music, when you're, you know, in front of you and you can read everything and look at the artwork and it's in your hands. It's a nice feeling. But I think, so yeah, record stores are really important. Independent record stores, definitely.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you for track 5 for the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing, please.
Now, this would have been Justice and Simeon, We Are Your Friends. And it was kind of, I was clubbing during that kind of indie rock era where the Killers had started, you know, coming up, and Block Party and all those kind of indie bands, Kings of Leon. And this song was like, I just remember hearing it in clubs after all of that. It kind of got shoved into that pile, you know. It was the most electronic indie sounding thing, really.
It felt, didn't it, like all the indie bands were getting like French sort of French producers remixing at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. And so yeah, that just brings me back to being 18 and going out, really.
And where was that, in Brighton?
No, I would have been going out in Worthing, and it was actually Bognor Regis. There was a little club that my band used to play in, and it was called the Mud Club. And there was a night at that place called Goo, which we used to all go to. And there was these two DJs who would play all your bangers for you.
Nice. I mean, I hope I always get this story right, but do you know the story behind that Justice versus Simeon?
Do I know
the story behind it, how it come about?
No.
So around the time of that kind of explosion of Sebastian and their banger remixes of everything, Eddie Temple Morris used to have a show on XFM called The Remix, and it was a time when everyone was doing mashups as well. And from what I gather, that was one that was sent in. That was a mashup of Justice and Simeon Mobile Disco, and Eddie grabbed hold of it and started to rinse it. I mean, message me if I'm speaking wrong, listeners, but that is how I believe that come about, through a mashup sent in to Eddie's show. And I mean, that to this day still stands up as well. It's a wonderful electronic record, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. Absolutely amazing.
Okay, I'm going to take you home for track 6, Ben. Favourite song from an artist from your home county, please.
Well, it would be wrong if I didn't say Led Zeppelin, Immigrant Song, on this. It's just such an influential song as a drummer, with, you know, John Bonham being one of the greatest. And that beat, and just everything about it, it's so... it makes me want to go out and party. It's like, as soon as you hear it, it's like that kind of thing when you hear Back in Black as well. It's like, oh, you've got to, you know, I don't know, just spark something in you.
Like
you
a call of arms, isn't it?
Absolutely. And when you hear that, you're like, oh my gosh, here we go. Yeah, I just love it.
But you know that people must get that from your records.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've had a lot of people like listen to it in the gym and stuff because it just, it can rev you up and
yeah
running and yeah, all sorts.
And just before we get on to the last track, just talking about, you know, we've not spoken about the band too much. We'll talk about the new record before we're done. But just interesting to know from, you know, from a sort of somebody looking at him, how did you deal with the fact that as somebody that has been playing your records in the clubs over the years, like, it felt to me, and I'm sure you'll say, no, we was gigging the toilet venues to death before this happened. It felt like the minute I heard the name Royal Blood, then all of a sudden, Royal Blood were everywhere. And it felt like it just went bang. And I just wonder how you found that time when all of a sudden it just, you know, it just exploded.
Yeah, well, like you said, for us, we'd been in training for a long time and we had played all those venues and it was hard for us to get a gig anywhere. But it did happen quickly with Royal Blood. I think it was just the right time. We had, a couple of songs that really felt good to play and felt loud and kind of impressive, you know, when you're in a small venue, kind of blew your head off.
Yeah.
So we had a great force behind that. And then, yeah, things obviously picked up quite quickly. And it was kind of just a strap-in moment. Just, you're on a, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how long this is going to last. Let's just enjoy it. And we still are. You know, and until this whole pandemic hit, we were still going. And, it's not until now that you can really reflect and answer that question.
It was when you touched upon something earlier, when you sort of said, when asked if you was driven, you was like, no, you know, a lot of the time I like to sort of sit back and watch and you know, and take it in. Are you the sort of person that, you know, to see that all of a sudden Royal Blood are winning awards, like huge awards everywhere, and, you know, you're finding yourself at, you know, I guess all of these big parties and playing some amazing festivals and, you know, I imagine meeting your heroes and things like that. Like, are you the sort of person that can sit back in them situations and just think, I'm just going to fucking enjoy this?
That's me all over. I just take every day as it comes, and you worry about the next day, you know, when it comes. So all of those things you kind of accept, and they're all things that if you actually focus on, it will make you go mad and make you overthink things. And so I think it's just so important just to sit back and enjoy what's happening, because you can only control some of it. You know, you can only control your performance and where you're doing those things, and all the rest comes from the fans and media, I guess, and people who have got something to say about your music, and that's where it spreads.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Absolutely. Final track. I'm going to ask you, you can play DJ now, Ben, and I'm going to ask you to tell me a song that many may not know that you would like them to hear.
Again, that's a quite a question, isn't it? Because there's, and I really thought about what people would expect me to play, I guess. But I've gone with Frank Ocean and Lost. I'm a massive fan of his records, and I think creatively he's incredible. And this song was just something when I heard it, kind of just made me relax almost and smile and just sit back and just enjoy that record. So I'm going to go with, Frank Ocean, Lost.
Wonderful. Ben, we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast so people can go and explore all the songs that you've chosen today. As we find, we're heading into March 2021 at the moment, with a lot of optimism now that the summer may even see festivals going ahead and gigs returning and just the simplicity of being able to go and hug your friends. What are you looking forward to happening this year personally? And what's coming up professionally?
I'm looking forward to the summer and being able to see my mates and my family and having a barbecue in the garden and a beer. I'm really looking forward to playing a gig as well. It's been a long time. But again, every day as it comes, we don't want to rush into these things and make a massive hoo-ha out of it. And we want everyone to be safe and feel good when they come through those doors. So we're just going to wait until then and, just get this album out, which will be out on, April 30th. And it's just going to be great to be able to share our music with people again.
What can people expect from the new record?
It's a bit more dancey and French, I guess. It's just a progression of Royal Blood. It's still Royal Blood. It's still heavy, and when you hear these songs live, they'll transform again. But it's something that we're really proud of musically and definitely lyrically. With Mike, it's something that he's gone into deeper than he has before. So there's a lot of different characters in these songs that we're looking forward to getting out there.
Wonderful. I can't wait to hear it. Ben, thanks so much for your time today, mate.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
No worries. Take it easy, mate.
Nice one. See ya.
Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much, Ben. Glorious. What solid song choices there. I mean, that's definitely one to venture over to Spotify and get stuck into because, some absolutely raucous bangers there as well, which is, I guess, what you would expect from a Styx man from Royal Blood. Can't wait for you to hear the new Royal Blood album. I've had a sneaky listen and it's ace. And just once again, thank you so much for getting behind this podcast. Please continue to give us a like and a love and a retweet and a share when you see us on the socials. And if you've got any mates that like hearing people chatting away about records, then point them in the direction of this podcast. And if you subscribe to this, mate, that would be amazing. And any kind of reviews, it all helps.